Amen. Well, it's being very apparent to me in my spirit in the last year, especially, that Jesus could come. When you see nations hating on Israel, watch out. Because really, the time of the Gentiles is just about over. Pretty much. And everything begins to center back in on Israel. And he's going to convert a nation in one day. With an appearing. Amen? Now there's a few things. He said if he didn't cut the time short, no one could survive. So how short's he going to cut it? Well, no one knows. But one day his father's going to say, the number of your bride is in. Go get your bride. I'm looking forward to that. The Bible says there's a crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. They don't just like it. It's not just a nice idea. They love his appearing. Amen? And you have to work at keeping that alive because there's so much depressing misery out there. It can get a hold of you. If you listen to the news, you get bummed out. I tried it. And you don't even know if they're telling you the truth. Because the flesh, the world, and the devil don't like truth. They can't even talk truth. So they're going to lie to you. But we have an anchor that doesn't slip in the sand. We have an anchor that's caught on a rock. His name's Jesus. And come what may, I've passed from death to life. I'm going to heaven when this show's over. And the amazing thing is that as we look at Revelation chapter 20, and I'm just going to quote a couple of scriptures from there. It says in verse 6 of 20, thank God we see in the beginning of it, the devil's bound for 1,000 years. I'll be glad when that happens. There won't be any more temptation. There won't be any more seduction by sin. But it says here, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So that's just the beginning of eternity. Jesus will come, ascend onto Mount Zion. From what I read here and I've studied it out a bit, he will rule in the Jerusalem we know now because the new Jerusalem doesn't come down to 20 until chapter 21. So he's going to rule and reign from the Jerusalem we know now, and we will be in glorified bodies if we've made that first resurrection. We'll be quickened. He's going to come with 10,000s of his saints, and we're going to go up to meet him in the air, right? And some people have said to me, well, if we're in the grave, how did he get 10,000s coming with him in the air? Well, the truth is, when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, he led captivity captive. All the Old Testament saints went to paradise with that thief on the cross. They even saw them walking around the streets of Jerusalem. Right? It says that here. And so they're going to come with him. Well, that's going to be a moment. Hello? The wicked are going to ask the mountains to fall on them. That's a freak out. That's serious. And he's going to come. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And we are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Just to begin eternity. And what I want to say to you tonight is everything you are going through and learning now as a Christian is preparing you to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now you will be ruling over the wicked. They will be the DNA of sin. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's not putting up with any nonsense. But we're going to rule over them. And during that 1,000 years, it really hit me that the white throne judgment comes after this. That means that during that 1,000 years, those people will have an opportunity to actually believe upon him. He's ruling in Jerusalem. They will have an opportunity to receive ministry from us, because we'll be going around the world giving compassion where compassion is needed, giving supplies where supplies are needed. And yet, even after Jesus ruling on the earth, in all of his glory in Jerusalem, at the end, he's going to let the devil out. And I said to God, I said, why did you let that sucker out again? Why did you do that? Oh, and I never could get it. He's always used the devil to sift humanity. Because anybody, the Bible says even the wicked would pretend submission to God. So they might say, yeah, he's our almighty ruler in Jerusalem, but really they're planning treason behind his back. And so the devil's going to come out, and the Bible says a multitude as the sand of the sea, not just the seashore, the sea. I don't know how you fit that many people on the earth, but there's going to be a lot of people who rebel against him, and he's going to consume them with the fire of his mouth, and then we'll have the white throne judgment, and those who are in the book of life are going to go to heaven, and those that are not will definitely be going to hell. If your Christianity's dull, think about these things. These are pretty spectacular, kind of makes Hollywood look sick, you know. I watched a photograph in Australia of a picture of Brisbane in Australia. They have these fireworks every year, and they say they're one of the best fireworks in the world. And they had a picture of the fireworks at their best, and behind it, about 50 miles back, God did a display of lightning that made it look pathetic. I mean, it just made it look absolutely pathetic. It looked like a little coloring square in the bottom of a real picture. And so now we struggle. Now we have to live by faith. Now we have to live not seeing. See, in the Old Testament, you could go down to a priest and make an offering and get healed. But in the New Testament, everything's governed by the level of our faith. And I don't know about you, but mine got kind of beat up during COVID. It's the devil's been on the loose. Our educators are telling children all kinds of abominable things in schools. Our leaders, some of their behavior is very questionable. So we go, there's been loosed in our country a lot of demonic activity one way or another. And the church has kind of gone quiet because she's a little bit afraid. Amen? So I've been waiting. I've been waiting since 2020. I've been saying, Lord, what are you saying? And I didn't hear a whole lot during COVID. I survived COVID and had it twice. And the Lord spoke to me last fall to go to Ezekiel 37. And let's read it a little bit. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Notice he didn't make a statement of faith. Notice he didn't make a statement of unbelief. He said, you know. That's interesting, isn't it? He was stuck in the middle. You know why? Because when you look at that many dry bones, and you look at that much trouble, and you look at how dismembered the army is, and you look at how the country's going, and Israel said, our God has forsaken us, he's forgotten us. That's what they were saying. It's hard to have a statement of faith. It's hard to say things are going to get better. But you also don't want to make a statement of unbelief, so you just sort of stay in the middle and wait to hear from God. He He caused him to pass by them for quite a while. And he looked and he saw how dismembered it all was and how messed up it was and how bad it was. And God said, can they live? Good question. He said, now it's time. Now I want you to speak to these bones to live. And something went off inside me. Something got fired up inside me that hasn't been lit in a while. I think I was a little bit of a smoldering flax in my faith about the future. The Lord said to me, Andrew, speak life. It's time to speak life. I said, God, I don't feel like speaking life. I don't see any evidence of life. He said, no, you speak it in faith and you believe for life to come. And that's what Jesus did. He went up to there was a widow woman and her son died. And nobody even asked him to pray for him. Nobody came with a petition of mercy. But out of the goodness of his own heart, he went over, he touched the coffin and the boy rose up because he knew her crisis. He knew that he was the only source of income for her. He's moved strictly by his compassion. So, speak life. So we'll start here. Speak life to the person you see in the mirror every morning when you go to brush your teeth. Speak life. Don't speak question marks or neutrality. Don't sit there in gear with your foot on the clutch. Mind you, we all drive automatics. We don't even know what a clutch is anymore. Engage the thing and take your foot off it. A lot of us have been keeping our feet on things. We need to let go and put the gas pedal on. Speak life to your spouse. A lot of marriages are in a lot of trouble. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of your tongue. You make a choice every day. You either speak life or you're speaking death. To speak nothing is the same as speaking death. Amen? It's like in a courtroom. If someone tells part of the truth, they're still a liar. I want to proclaim the whole truth of God. Amen? My mom practiced witchcraft. My dad had an affair. And my mother found evidence of it in his car. And my mom went out and cursed his car. She said, I curse that automobile. The next time he drove it within 100 yards of our house, he killed a 5-year-old boy. Life and death in the power of your tongue. So if I speak life, God will back it up. But I have to speak it first. He wanted his disciples, he said to them, where's your faith? There's a hurricane coming down the lake. And they said, man, we're gonna perish. And you're going to drown too, Jesus. That's how bad it is. I think that's kind of comical. We're going to perish. He said, where's your faith? He was trying to build them up to look at a crisis and begin to speak to it. We need to speak to our crisis. And you say, well, I've tried. Well, what I've learned is sometimes God just wants to know, how bad do you want it? We don't want to do vain repetitions. But I'll tell you, when I got sick with a blood clot, I didn't back off on the intensity of prayer. I kept hammering heaven because it's a life and death issue. Some of the people you know that need to hear what God's done for you, and your testimony is going to win their soul. That's why I say everything we're learning now is going to, the only thing you can take out of this world is what Jesus has done in you and what Jesus has done through you. Yeah. Nothing else. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing. We all go out naked. And so as the end comes, I want to prepare and be more prepared. I want to shine the lamp, so to speak, to have the gifts of God in my life shining when he comes. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find living faith on the earth? So he knows it's going to get tough. But you know what? It's time to speak life to your children. I hear a lot of people not speaking life to their children. And they wonder why their children rise up and have all kinds of ugly, nasty things to say to them. How did they learn those nasty, ugly things? They heard you say them. Right? Oh, it went quiet. They learn by example. And so we see that thus says the Lord in verse 5. Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews came on the flesh, but they had no breath. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If the church needs one serious thing, is an outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's with tongues or without tongues, but we need to pray with our understanding or in the Holy Ghost. We need to sing in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I do it all. And so this wind came, this baptism of the Holy Ghost, and this army stood up. Thousands of slain soldiers. And I begin to think, how many backsliders are there in America today? How many people at COVID quit church and didn't come back? And when we see them, we want to say, yeah, naysayer. Why don't we speak life? Why don't we ask the God, give them life? The Bible says if you see someone commit a sin that's not unto death, pray for them and God will give them life. Right? So I tell you what, I don't want to be just blabbing things out for the sake of blabbing things out, but I want a lot of life coming out of my heart, mind, soul, and strength that's anointed of God to change what's going on in this nation and in the world. We either need a visitation of God or we're in big trouble. And I'm wondering, this is just Andrew. I think the Lord might come. I have no time frame on that. But it's about time Jesus came. The world, it's gone global. All the insanity has gone global now. Hello? Amen. So, I think it's verse 11. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, I will cause you to come up from your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you. You shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Amen? So I don't know where your hope is. You might have lost it. Tonight's a good time to find it again. Amen? I might have missed out on some good stuff here. We'll see, but I'll think I'll leave it at that. Let's bow our heads. Lord, you said that at the end, the tribulation would be so severe that many would not be able to endure it. But we also know, Lord, that we are not subject to your wrath. You don't just beat up on your kids. But we're willing to endure some things for you like Jesus did. We're willing to pay the price to have to go through some difficult seasons. But we believe you won't exhibit the wrath of God on us. So that means you will have come for us. And we have great hope tonight. We anticipate your appearing. Let us all return to our first love. And I thank you, Father, for courage, faith, and let us speak life in Jesus' name. Let us be a people who look at mountains and tell them to move out of the way in Jesus' name, because somebody needs life. We pray, Lord, these words would be indelible on our hearts and minds, not easily erased, and that we would be a people to go and do that. Amen. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you can do it now. Talk to him. You can talk to me till you're blue in the face. It won't help you. Talk to him. Amen. Ask him to forgive you and ask him to give you a new heart. Amen. Amen. The Lord's good. Let's